Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PE Talks Africa podcast, a podcast by AFCA, the African Private Capital Association. I will be your host, Persia Castellani, and today we are joined by Angela Mwenda, who is the Associate Director at IBIS. And we are here to uncover the crucial role ESG plays in supporting LPs and GPs across the African continent. So hi, Angela. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Persia. Happy to be here.
And could I just ask you to introduce yourself and the role that you play at IBIS?
Thank you. All right. Happy to go ahead. So my name is Angela Mwenda. As mentioned by Persia, I am an associate director at IBIS ESG Consulting. So I sit in the Nairobi office, which is one of the offices, larger offices of IBIS Consulting. IBIS is one of the largest specialist ESG and impact advisory firms in both Africa and Asia. We have offices in South Africa, Kenya, that is Nairobi, where I sit, Egypt, Morocco, Singapore, Hong Kong, and France. The company was recently acquired by SLR Consulting, which is a global sustainability advisory firm, and this happened in June 2023.
Thanks, Angela. And to start with, why has there been a heightened emphasis on environmental, social, and governance, or as we call it, ESG considerations among the LPs and GPs of the industry?
So there definitely has been a heightened emphasis, and the focus has increased more steeply in recent years, probably due to real experiences when things go wrong, such as climate change and the drastic changes in weather patterns and the impact of these changes on the availability of natural resources and social as well as socio-economic consequences. But to be honest, LPs in particular, and also GPs, have traditionally led the way in ensuring that ESG risk management is integrated into their investments, which is why some of the oldest ESG frameworks are attributed to LPs. But as the impacts of inadequate ENS risk management continue to be catalyzed, and again, due to global changes and development, the focus on the triple bottom line becomes more essential. For example, climate change risk assessments, greenhouse gas emissions calculations, carbon footprint analysis, and similar assessments now regularly make up the scope of work in any E&S related assessment during various stages of the investment cycle.
Thank you, Angela. And with this kind of heightened risks and heightened emphasis, as an ESG advisory firm, how are you supporting LPs and GPs focused on investing in Africa?
So IBIS was established specifically in Africa to support private investors focused on Africa, which means that we uniquely adapt our extensive global ESG experience in Africa to the needs of private investors looking to make their investments in Africa. Our client base comprises a very healthy number of LPs and GPs focused on investing in Africa. On this basis, our understanding of the various stages of investment, combined with our extensive ENS experience, ensures that we are able to advise our clients on the potential ENS risks at each stage of their investment and offer solutions to managing these risks. Additionally, our understanding of LPs and GP strategies of interest and our presence in the countries identified as most attractive to both LPs and GPs, and this was information that was available from the 2023 AFCA, African Private Capital Industry Survey. So, and for this, as well as extensive experience in the sectors considered most attractive to LPs and GPs, means that we are able to consistently provide fit-for-purpose solutions.
Thank you, Angela. That was very interesting to hear. And For those who have kind of less knowledge of the ESG principles and are unsure of where to start, how can the incorporation of ESG principles enhance the success and resilience of LPs and GPs in navigating private capital investments within the African market?
Thanks, Persia. In our experience, that is at IBIS, the integration of ESG principles right from the outset of an investment consideration offers the investor not only the potential to manage the ESG risks, but to also highlight potential opportunities for increased ESG and impact during the investment cycle. If, for example, ESG factors are considered very early in the pre-investment phase, it is likely that the same ESG risks will not later result in either an early exit or disproportionate reassignment of funds during the life of the investment. So to address ESG risks that may have grave financial and/or reputational risks. Interestingly, we are increasingly finding that hidden, in quotes, ESG risks arise more commonly from the social and governance aspects of the ESG triad, yet they were historically categorized as soft issues. Thankfully, this is not the case anymore, and there is a lot of information available to LPs and GPs to guide them, including from external special consultants.
Thank you, Angela. And you previously mentioned the more attractive and the emerging sectors that were mentioned in the 2023 African Private Capital Industry Survey. What are your perspectives on emerging areas of interest within investment, including impact investment, gender considerations, human rights, and other related topics?
So these topics are indeed very interesting areas, Persia, particularly looking at how they're rapidly evolving into mainstream areas of interest or concern for investors. A topic that may previously not have featured now has the potential to significantly contribute to whether an investment decision is made or not, or how smoothly that investment runs. A good example is how supply chain related issues such as poor labor and working conditions have negatively affected investment decisions. Also interesting is the unique skill sets required to deep dive into these areas, and which I must say is in some geographies not very common, but luckily rapidly increasing, meaning that investors are now able to receive support in these areas.
And kind of touching back on these areas, what does the outlook for environmental and social, so the ENS, risk management entail?
Well, there will definitely be a greater need for these assessments, that is the environmental and social assessments, with more sophisticated methods being required by both the LPs and GPs as the frameworks become more developed. For example, there is currently quite a robust framework guiding ENS assessments available to private investors, such as the IFC Performance Standards, the International Labour Organization, that's the ILO, Basic Terms and Conditions of Employment, the International Bill of Human Rights, which is in line with the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, and others, as well as, of course, the applicable local ENS legislation. The EU taxonomy, as an additional example, has also begun to feature more prominently in Africa-focused ENS assessments originating out of Europe.
Thank you, Angela. And thank you for joining us. I think we've covered a range of very important and crucial topics in this podcast, and I hope that our audience find it very valuable. So thank you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your insights.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Perfect. And if you, our audience, would like any more information on the work that they conduct and carry out at IBIS, I'm going to drop a link to their website in the description of this podcast. And if you enjoyed listening, please feel free to check out our other episodes, and I will see you there.